Bum bum ba da 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 Welcome back to Knight Retells Harry Potter from Memory, the show where I retell Harry Potter from memory. We are currently in the midst of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. If you haven't watched the previous episodes, I highly recommend them, because this might be very confusing otherwise. Anyway, let's just jump in. I think last episode we ended up with Snape teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts, and then threatening them with like a paper that they have to write about werewolves. And Harry was like, no, my Quidditch game. And he's like, well, life or limb won't stop you from writing it. So we cut forward to the Quidditch game. I think it opens up in like a rainstorm, focusing on like what you think is a Dementor at first, and then it turns into like this black umbrella that's being like tossed around in the storm. And then I think the umbrella gets like pulled down through the clouds to the audience, and you can kind of see the crowd around the Quidditch game and the Quidditch pitch, and everyone's like zooming around, flying, doing their respective Quidditch jobs. You know, the beaters are beating bludgers, the keepers are defending the goal from the Quaffle. You know, everyone's doing their respective Quidditch jobs. And you kind of pass through all this, and you see Harry on his broom scanning the horizon, looking for the snitch. Obviously, he's a seeker. He looks for the snitch. I think this game is against Hufflepuff, if I remember correctly. It's not against Slytherin. It's not like a rivalry game. I think it's against Hufflepuff. And Harry, I think, sees the Hufflepuffian. What do you call someone from Hufflepuff? I guess he's Hufflepuffian? Because he's a Gryffindor. A Hufflepuff? I don't know. I guess it's just that he's a Hufflepuff. All right, see how you see a Hufflepuff, the Hufflepuff seeker. I think he catches an eye out of the snitch, and he starts like rushing skyward, and I think Harry starts chasing after him. And as they're going higher and higher, like a rogue bolt of electricity rains from the heavens and strikes the Hufflepuff seeker, knocking him from the sky, which is just nuts. Like, this game is so, like, why are you guys playing in this thunderstorm? It's so dangerous. These are kids, man. But anyway, so this kid falls, like, I don't know, 500 feet, I guess, off of his broom. It's fine, though, allegedly. So Harry just sees this shit and goes, oh, shit, and then keeps, like, following the snitch. He's going higher and higher and higher. And as he climbs, his broom starts freezing just ever so slightly, and his goggles start freezing. He's wearing goggles. His goggles start freezing over. And then you notice Dementor. You see one Dementor, I think. It's just like one in the distance. And he's like, oh, shit. But he's still going after the snitch. Doesn't matter that there's Dementors here. He still has a game to win. So he's going. He keeps going. And then more Dementors just keep showing up. And then, like, what was one turns into five. That five turns into 20. That 20 turns into, like, 100. The sky is just full of Dementors. And I think one of them just kind of, like, drives by Harry and just like does a drive-by Dementor kiss, like it goes, and then immediately he just falls off his broom and starts hearing like that opera scream, the Harry, at like a really high-pitched frequency as he just starts falling from his broom. Luckily, since he's a protagonist of the story, Dumbledore sees him fall and then casts a spell. I think he like raises his hand and then says something. I think he goes like, reducto memento or something, or reduso memento. It's something memento. I'm not entirely certain, but he says something to that effect. And then the screen kind of does this vignette fade, where the corners kind of creep in and it fades out. I think it's the same effect you use whenever Harry blacks out to Dementor attack. What happens then? I think he wakes up in the hospital. Yeah, I think he comes to in the hospital with Madame Pomfrey. And he's, like, kind of bruised up. I'm pretty sure the Hufflepuff dude that fell, like, the same distance is in the background. And he is not in, like, a good state. Like, I don't know if he's awake or anything. Meanwhile, Harry, totally awake. And everyone's, like, around him. And it's like, oh, my God, thank God, you're fine. And, like, Hermione's there, Ron's there, the twins. Is anyone else there? I think that's it. Yeah, so the four of them are just kind of relieved that he's alive. I don't know if Madame Pomfrey is, like, tending to him. I assume she's tending to the Hufflepuff guy. I think Hermione says something first. I think Harry, like, brings up the fact that, like, what the fuck? There were Dementors there. And then Hermione goes, yeah, Dumbledore was furious. He sent them away. Or he, like, went, he, like, called the Minister of Magic or something. Like, he was pissed. Yeah, so I think Harry asks about, like, the state of the match, and I don't think there's anything, like, I don't know if it went either way. But inevitably Ron comes and goes, but I got some bad news. Your broom, when he fell off it, it flew into the Whomping Willow, and this is all I could recover. And then, like, he shows this, like, wrapped up blanket that has, like, the shattered remains of his broom, and Harry looks devastated. I don't know if he could play Quidditch anymore. Like, it seems like you have to own your own equipment from the way the, like, you know, it's not like the team is, like, giving him a broom, you know? It's almost like you have to bring your broom from home. So I don't know if he could play Quidditch for the rest of the season. I would imagine he wouldn't be able to, because I don't know. In the movies, it feels like they've set up this precedent where you aren't allowed to play Quidditch unless you bring a broom from home. Like, it doesn't seem like the school or the teams provide, like, any equipment outside of the quaffle, the bludgers, the hammer things you hit the bludgers with. I guess they're bats. And then, like, the snitch. That's it. Like, they're not giving you brooms. They're not giving you shit. It is. That's a tough sport, you know? You gotta bring all your own equipment. I guess it's kind of like, I guess you gotta bring your own, like, skates if you're, like, a hockey player. Maybe that's, like, what it's akin to. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, so Harry is obviously devastated. Shit has been really rough this year. I think the next scene, he, like, is out of hospital and he's, like, walking through the woods with good old Lupin. And, like, Lupin's, I think he asks if Lupin's feeling better. He's like, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better, Harry. And he goes, Professor, why do the Dementors affect me so? And I think Lupin goes, you know, there are horrors in your life, Harry, that your classmates can scarcely imagine. True horrors. The Dementors affect you so because they feed on your darkest memories, you know? And so Harry has, like, real shit in his life. So obviously he's going to be affected real heavy by the Dementors. And I think this is when Harry goes, like, I need to be able to defend myself against it. You made the Dementor on that train go away. And then I think Lupin goes, yes, but that was one Dementor, you know. It's much harder to do for, like, a bunch of Dementors. Harry goes, please, you have to teach me. So I this stops happening to me. I can't keep blacking out every time these guys roll up on me. And so Lupin, I think, realizes that he gotta teach Harry. So I think he goes, what did he say? I think he's like, yeah, when I feel better, I can teach you or something along those lines. Because they're, like, looking out. So they're walking through this woods, and they kind of end the scene looking out over the little island in the middle of the Black Lake. Is it the Black Lake? I think it's the Black Lake. That's kind of where it ends up. I think he says after the holidays, which you get this really nice transition where you get, I think it's Hedwig, but it could be any snowy owl, I guess, flying over snowy Hogwarts. And you approach the clock tower, which is now a new feature of the school, this big clock. And Harry's standing behind it, looking through the glass, as all of his friends go off to Hogsmeade's village, which he can't go to because, obviously, as we know, Uncle Vernon didn't sign the permission slip, and McGonagall won't sign it either because she doesn't believe that's morally right, because she doesn't view herself as, like, a parental figure to Harry, even though he's kind of, like, validated that to her a few times, that, like, hey, you're, like, the only maternal figure I have in my life. I'm an orphan, and things are complicated. But yet, McGonagall says no, which I don't know how you say no to that kid. Like, if I was McGonagall, like, you knew, you saw him as a baby get put on that doorstep. Like, I sign the fucking slip, you know? I don't know. That's just me. I would sign the goddamn slip. Like, he's an orphan, man. Like, his shit's hard. Like, people are actively killing him every single fucking year. And you can't sign this permission slip? It's not even like, you make up the rules, lady. Like, I don't get it. That scene just drives me crazy. Just let Harry go to Hogsmeade. Like, what's the danger, you know? Anyway, so he realizes the only way he's going to get to Hogsmeade is by sneaking out. So he throws on that invisibility cloak and starts charging through the snow, which is the worst way to go invisibly because you can see the footsteps, which is such a nice little movie-making touch because it ties in really well with the idea of the Marauder's map, which we're basically going to see right now. So Harry's, like, trudging through the snow, and Fred and George are standing by, like, a stairwell, and they see the footsteps going through the snow, and they're not idiots, and they put two and two together and realize Harry is up to some tomfoolery. So they grab his ass and pull him into, like, a stairwell, and the whole time Harry's like, what are you guys doing? What the fuck? Guys, I'm just trying to sneak into Hogsmeade Village, and they're like, we know, and they keep pulling Harry into there, and they just chuck him into the stairwell and rip off his cloak. Harry obviously is pissed, but these guys are actually doing him a solid. They pull out this piece of parchment, and they go, I solemnly swear I'm up to no good, and they touch the map. And all of a sudden, this blank piece of paper is revealed to be a map of Hogwarts, the Marauder's map. I think it says Mad-Eye, Moody, Prongs, and Wormtail proudly present the Marauder's map. So they open it up, and they're like, it's a map of everything and everyone in Hogwarts. Like, they do that really cute thing that they do as twins where they, like, each give a part of their line delivery back and forth off each other. I love it. It's great. And Harry goes, it's a map. And they're like, yeah. And he sees, is that Dumbledore in his office? Pacing. He loves to do that. And, like, I wish I could do the effect better. So they use the map to show him a secret passageway to Hogsmeade Village, which is great because Harry wants to go to Hogsmeade. This is a way to go to Hogsmeade. So he does so. I think he comes out of, like, Honeydukes in the basement, and he takes the stairs up, and he basically goes about his wonderful day at Hogsmeade Village. He steals candy from a child at one point invisibly, which I don't know why he chose to do that. Also, I think they do a gag where the candy disappears, but that seems implausible now that, because it's a cloak. So, like, either all the candy disappears or none of it does, you know? You can't just, like, take a bite or lick it. So just stealing that lollipop was just kind of a dick move. Like, there was no, like, why would you steal? You're trying to be sneaky, Harry. Anyway, he steals a lollipop for some reason. I hope it's from a Slytherin. I hope you could justify it somehow. I don't know why he does this. And then he goes about and, like, kind of razzes some folks. I think it cuts away from him and shows Hermione and Ron at the Shrieking Shack. Yeah, they're at the Shrieking Shack. And they're, like, talking about how, I think Hermione's like, it's the most haunted place in Britain. And then Malfoy comes up behind Hermione and basically says something to the effect of, oh, you two looking for your future house or something like that. Like, he's shading them, as Malfoy always does. I think Hermione says some shit to Malfoy, and then he doesn't do any, I don't know if he does anything about it. And then all of a sudden a random snowball comes out of, like, nowhere and strikes him in the face. And then another one, and then another one, and then Crab and Goyle are also, or Crab, and I don't know who the other guy is. Because I didn't know one of them is arrested right now, or at the time was, I think he was involved in a drug bust in the UK, and that's why he's not in the rest of the movies. I think he had criminal charges pending against him, and that's why he wasn't there. So it's either Crab and or Goyle standing next to Malfoy, and then someone else. But they all get attacked by snowballs. I think Crab slash Goyle gets pantsed, and then dragged into the woods, and then Malfoy's hat gets, like, pulled down over his eyes, and then, like, he gets spun around a little bit. And they're all, like, thoroughly freaked, so they just, like, bounce. I mean, fair enough, though, because this world does have validated ghosts, and you're by a very haunted house. Which is interesting, the Shrieking Shack doesn't have, like, a ghost attached to it, you know? Like Hogwarts has, like, 8 ghosts that you see in the movies. That's a haunted-ass place in my mind. But yet, the Shrieking Shack, which has 0 ghosts as far as I see. I mean, it's a creepy house, don't get me wrong. And, like, the shrieking could be the wind passing through it. It's not like a ghost screaming inside the house. Because that's the thing that could happen in this universe. Yeah, I don't know. Why is the Shrieking Shack so haunted? It doesn't seem very haunted now that I'm, like, thinking about it, contextually speaking. You know? Yeah, interesting. So Harry just reveals himself to his friends at the end. And they're like, I think he does it by pulling Ron's, like, hat dangle thing and then Hermione's hair at the same time, and they all like start laughing. They're like, ha 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 ha, oh, you're so funny, Harry. I mean, because that is a hilarious joke. He scared off the bad guys. So yeah, so then they're all like kind of happy in front of the Shrieking Shack. I think it's a good place to leave it. But if you enjoy the show, please let me know. I love hearing you guys' feedback. I love hearing what I got right, what I got wrong. I think I got like a B for this episode. I think I did a pretty decent job. Let me know in the comments. Anyway, hope you have a great rest of your Monday. I'll talk to you later. Bye now.